Hi, I'm Jonathan Mast, Director of Social Media and Digital Strategy for Sedgwick. Today's podcast focuses on reducing risk in the emergency department with a special focus on patient triage. We will talk with Kathy Shostak, Vice President of Healthcare Risk Management at Sedgwick, who will expand on the topic of effective triage as a means of improving patient safety and reducing risk. The subject of the article in the fall-winter 2016 issue of Endurance Insurance Inside and Perspective newsletter. Kathy, the article written by guest author and Sedgwick emergency physician consultant Robert Schaefermeyer notes that pitfalls in the triage process can result in errors and delays in the evaluation and treatment of patients. What conditions predispose patients and providers to this risk?
Well, Jonathan, during our emergency department risk assessments, we focus on evaluation and management of clinical conditions that comprise the top diagnoses involved in hospital and emergency physician claims. They include conditions such as abdominal pain, sepsis, myocardial infarction or MI, and stroke, CVA, among others, all of which require accurate assessment at initial triage. Delayed recognition of conditions like sepsis, MI, CVA, or even a patient whose deterioration leads to cardiac arrest is a patient safety issue because delays increase the patient morbidity and mortality. A delay is also a risk management issue because it places the physician in the hospital at risk of liability. Because patients with these conditions are usually already very ill, requiring immediate attention to avoid rapid deterioration, it's necessary to treat them at the same time as confirming their diagnosis, and this should begin at triage.
I see, but what factors can adversely impact the triage process and place the patient at risk and expose the physician and hospital to liability?
Well, many factors can adversely impact the triage process. As Dr. Schaefermeyer notes in his article, triage should be reviewed as a process, and the triage staff must collect the right information in a short amount of time to make a correct assessment. The Emergency Severity Index, or the ESI, is an accepted five-level tool for use in the emergency department triage area. The ESI rates patient acuity from a level 1, being the most urgent, to a level 5, the least resource intensive. Excuse me. The ESI includes both acuity and resource needs in the system of categorizing emergency department patients. However, ESI is just a tool. With regard to the triage assessment, a number of things can adversely affect the triage process, including asking the wrong questions or not enough key questions to get an accurate history. Things like failure to ask about comorbidities or not asking about medications, especially anticoagulants, beta blockers, and medications that affect vital signs and mental status, or not believing the patient who's in pain or is a frequent emergency department user, and some other things like failing to reevaluate the EMS patient or not recognizing atypical presentations of critical illnesses, and a failure to communicate important information to the physician and the care team.
Kathy, what are common things that you see causing delays during triage or reducing the effectiveness of triage?
The top things that impact effective triage and things that can result in delays include processes that take too long to identify time-sensitive illness or injury, or inadequate resources, space, and equipment dedicated to the triage, and a lack of a plan to deal with that rush hour, those peak volume times in the emergency department. So with the emergency department being the front door to the hospital and the higher acuity of patients coming in that door, the failure to identify those who are really sick is a huge patient safety risk. So the place for the best and the brightest emergency staff is triage. However, we don't always find that to be the case. Unfortunately, oftentimes there are new graduates or nurses with 6 months or less experience assigned to triage, particularly during the night. A case in point. I separately interviewed about a dozen emergency physicians during a recent emergency department risk assessment, and I asked them about their number one patient safety concern. Surprisingly, half of them reported nurse staffing and issues related to their lack of confidence in the new and inexperienced nurses working in triage. So instead, triage nurses should be well-trained and with demonstrated competence. The Emergency Nurses Association has established minimum qualifications for triage nurses that includes advanced training, experience, and education. But of course, triage should be a team effort. This includes high-functioning, critical thinking skills as well as interpersonal skills like teamwork and communication, and these support that culture of safety. Nurses, physicians, and other providers and staff in the emergency department need to be able to work well together and communicate effectively. These skills can impact timely intervention and a patient's ultimate outcome. Team triage models have been successfully used to reduce delays as well as improve patient and staff satisfaction.
That's really great information, Kathy. So can you describe an approach for reducing delays and improving the triage process?
Well, I recommend identifying the emergency department's top five chief complaints by volume and include high-risk diseases and injuries. And deciding if a clinical protocol will expedite triage and improve care and safety. For example, the evidence for using protocols for early identification and intervention of sepsis is clear, and there are sample sepsis protocols available. Assembling an interdisciplinary task force to develop and implement protocols, and the clinical staff should be involved and understand and support the rationale for using them. The staff should memorize the protocols and practice using them. Posting the protocol algorithms in the emergency treatment rooms is helpful, and the care should be bundled to promote compliance. So performance improvement metrics should be in place to monitor the timeliness and accuracy of the triage process. It's also important to monitor compliance with the clinical protocols that are implemented. Conducting quality audits using electronic health records and reviewing both adverse event and claim data can help identify common causes of delays in care, misdiagnosis or near-miss situations, for learning and for opportunities for improvement that begin in the triage process.
Well, Kathy, thanks so much for being on the show today and for lending your insight into effective triage in the emergency department. And we'll look forward to talking to you on the next podcast.
Thank you, Jonathan.